I would give you another chance today for you to give thanks. Many people did last week in both services. And I like to spend a couple weeks on Thanksgiving because I think it's good to be thankful. I think it's good to give thanks. I think it's good to be thankful corporately and to hear what you are thankful. I think that's good for us. Last week as well as this morning already, we've heard some things that are very difficult, and yet there's some very thankful people. And so I was going to give you another chance today, even though this is the first Sunday of Advent, I want to give you another chance today collectively to share with us what you might be thankful for. I do, in fact, have a message prepared. And so I'm not trying to get out of that. I'm just giving you a chance to say thank you. And so when you have had that chance, we will look to Scripture for two things. I'm going to point us today to two things at the opposite ends of the spectrum. The first one will be thankful for the painful. And the second thing will be thankful for the hope that is ours in Jesus. And so, may I open it up to you? You didn't get a chance last week, or something came to your mind, or maybe you weren't even with us last week, didn't have a chance. May I open it up to you for a few minutes to tell us what you are thankful for, and say it nice and loud so the rest of us can hear you, please. Just raise your hand, and then I'll see you, and I'll give you a chance. Anybody want to share this morning? Amen. Thank you. Let me say this then, while you're thinking about it, I'm thankful for you too, our church family and our community. I'm thankful for my wife and my family. Somebody said on the earlier service, I'm thankful for the things that we take for granted, the simple little things in life, like we have homes where lots of people around the world don't. We have clean water. We can feed ourselves for the most part. We can still see. We can still hear. And somebody said, I'm just thankful for these things that we take so much for granted. And I said to him and to the rest of the service this morning, I'm thankful too. I'm thankful for my hearing, although it's starting to slip away. The older I get, the less I can hear you, especially if other people are talking. And so I told the earlier service, if I have just seemingly ignored you one time, forgive me for that. I probably didn't hear you. But I am thankful I can still see and hear. I'm thankful for the little things too. Now who's next? Thank you, Charlie. God is good. Amen? Amen? He's always watching over us. There are days you may wonder, where is He? But He's always watching over us. Good. Thank you. That's wonderful. Friends are important. Family, regardless of that way that looks, is important, isn't it? Thankful for the people that give shoeboxes. I am too. Thank you, Mason. We had 141 of them, Mason. Did you know that? That's 141 little kids someplace around the world that are a little poorer than we are. They get a little present. And in that, in each and every shoebox, they get a story about Jesus. Christmas. That's good news, isn't it? You know, this Wednesday I came to the office and I turned on my computer like I always do, and one of the email headlines said this: NFL plus Twitter plus turkey equals Thanksgiving. And I just wondered if maybe they didn't miss something along the line. Now, I do like NFL. I do like turkey. I even go on Twitter once in a while. But you know what? A long time ago, the presidents of the United States established a day of giving thanks so that the nation would take that time to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your bounty. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. And so I hope we haven't missed that. That's why we normally spend two Sundays on Thanksgiving as we move into Christmas. I hope we haven't missed it. It's a good time for us to say, thank you, Lord, for the cross, for the blood of Jesus, for the baby that came in a manger, And yes, today we're going to look at being thankful for the painful. Thank you, Lord. It's molded me and developed me into who I am. And so, I just wanted to give us a chance today to say thanks, and we'll move on to Christmas, more Christmas-type topics next week. But I'm thankful for Thanksgiving and Christmas and that whole time when we celebrate God's goodness, God's blessings, God's grace. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, and he said, "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I can assure you that I've been told by many, and sometimes I have felt it myself, I don't feel like giving thanks for this. Have you been there? Yeah, some of you have been there. But I'm also here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that when we bring ourselves to giving God thanks for things, maybe it's not necessarily I'm thankful for the turmoil I'm going through right now, but we can always find something for which to be thankful. Amen? I hope that we can. We can always find something, I think, to be thankful for. He is saying here, I believe, that we can find things, we can be thankful, we can have a thankful heart, a thankful attitude, in spite of our circumstances. You know what I'm saying? You still with me? Let me give you a couple examples in case I've lost you. Who knows Johnny Erickson Tata? Who has heard of Johnny Erickson Tata? Some of you. Some of you have not. I think a lot of you have. Johnny Erickson Tata is a lady a few years older than I am. As a teenager, she dove into a pool, broke her neck, and has been paralyzed from the neck down since she was a teenager. That was 47 years ago. And she told an author just recently, "I'm thankful for my wheelchair. I'm thankful I'm paralyzed from the neck down. Because it has afforded me an opportunity to minister to people in wheelchairs all over the globe. It has afforded me this opportunity to see people and to give them wheelchairs and to minister to them and to pray with them and to love them, which I never would have done if I wasn't in a wheelchair." You see, that's what he's talking about. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. She also said this, by the way, "I'll be rejoicing in heaven because I'm going to throw this wheelchair away." And our own Dave Bushell, who's here this morning in this morning's service, he's not feeling very good. He's got three kinds of cancer. But every time I go to see Dave, I tried to last week, but he was at the doctor getting 6 1/3 pints of fluid pulled out of his system. Extra fluid. And every time when I go see that brother, say, "How are you, brother?" "Well, I'm doing okay. Don't feel very good, but I'm rejoicing in my spirit." Every time. That's what I'm talking about. When I'm challenging us this morning to be thankful in the painful. Chaplain Darrell shared it excellently last Sunday night from Peter's message that said it's oftentimes these times of pain that develop who we are. And we can be bitter about it or we can be better about it. And so I'm just challenging us today as people of God to even be able to say thank you for the painful. Because it's an attitude of gratitude. And even if the painful has got me down so much pain, we can still be thankful for the hope that is ours in Jesus. And I'm going to talk about those two things in the few minutes that we have left. If you've got your Bible, Acts 5, 29 to 42, there's a story there. I don't have time to read it all. But let me tell you just a little bit about it. First of all, the apostles had been put in jail for teaching and preaching about Jesus. Then they had been brought before the Pharisees and the scribes, and they had been basically told, stop talking about Jesus. And so we'll just pick it up at 29 there for a moment, and you can see the lay of the land, so to speak, before I get to what I get to. But Peter, this is Acts 5, verse 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, this is to the charge, stop telling and preaching and teaching about Jesus. Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. 33. They had already told him to stop preaching and teaching about Jesus. 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them for talking this way. Verse 40. In between there, a guy by the name of Gamaliel rises up and he says, Pharisees, brothers, listen to me here. If this is of God, don't try to stop it, because you're not going to. If it's not of God, well, it'll fizzle out itself. So that's the conversation in between. And at verse 40, here's what it says. And they agreed with him. That's the scribes and the Pharisees with the teacher, the leader Gamaliel. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, some of your translation says, and had them flogged. You know what flogging means? I don't know exactly how the scribes and Pharisees elected to beat them. But if the translation that says had them flogged is right, you remember the scene. Jesus was flogged before he went to the cross. Agonizing, bloody, horrible. Whatever the case may be, the disciples were beaten thoroughly. And when they had them beaten, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Verse 41. Here is thankful in the painful. So they departed. That's the disciples. They departed from the presence of the council, whimpering and whining about their... No. If you're watching on your Bible or you're watching on the big screen, that's not what it says. What does it say? Rejoicing. So they departed, having been beaten, perhaps flogged. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, Jesus. Now, I don't know how long it'd take you to recover from a flogging, but I think it'd take me a while. Flogging was serious business. Many people died in the process. And the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Thankful in the painful. Now, I don't know. We haven't had a chance to ask Peter and the apostles, and maybe someday we can. Were you thankful for the beating, or were you thankful for something else? They were rejoicing. The Bible says that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. So even though they had been beaten, perhaps flogged, certainly bloodied, certainly black and blued, they were rejoicing in the midst of the pain. And I'm just suggesting that during this Thanksgiving and Advent season that everything might not be perfect in your life. Could that be a reality? Could that be a possibility? Everything may not be perfect. Matter of fact, there may be some pain. But I'm also suggesting that we could find something to be thankful for in spite of the pain we're going through. Salvation, for starters. group home family, things to be thankful for. I'm simply suggesting that even when we're down and hurt, maybe it's our family that hurt us. If you know Christ, there's something to be thankful for. It's the hope of heaven. Peter and the apostles, they could have gone away bitter that day. I guess we've got that choice too when something bad is going on, when the painful is happening. I guess we've got the choice to go away bitter or go away better and be thankful to God for what He's done for us on the cross and in everyday living. That's a good idea, isn't it? Come, let us adore Him. 2 weeks, you get to hear them little voices proclaiming it right up here, 10:30. Our time is moving on, so let me just move on. Let me go to the other end of the spectrum. I've challenged us to be thankful in the painful, and I'm asking you, will we find something to be thankful to God for in the pain of life? I think if we can be, it'll develop who we are in Christ. Psalm 62:5 said, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him." Is your hope in God today, brothers and sisters? I mean it. I mean, is your hope really, really in God and in His Son? Is your hope really in heaven and the opportunity one day to see Jesus face to face? You know what? We don't have to hope. We have the hope. We can know. Let me give you an example from Scripture. It's in Ephesians 2. Let me give you just a couple of verses to close up today. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says in Ephesians 2:11, this is the New Living Translation, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outside." And brothers and sisters, guess what? If we have come to Christ, we used to be on the outside too. If we haven't come to Christ yet by faith, we haven't surrendered to Him completely as the Lord of our life, by faith, we're still on the outside. Listen to what he says. "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders," verse 12. "And in those days, when you were outsiders, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." And friends, if we are living today in the beauty of this free nation and all the splendor that we have and all the blessings that we have and all the joy that we have, if we are living without Christ, we are still living without hope. That's a positive. I mean, that's a negative. I'm going to move to a positive. When you know Christ, you have eternal hope. And Paul said to them, "You used to be that way." And in verse 13, he says, "But now," this is when we come to know Jesus in a personal way. This is when we acknowledge that I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. This is when we come to the Lord and say, "God, I've messed things up. Please forgive me for the sin in my life." This is when we recognize Jesus as the Messiah and we need Him as the Lord of our life. "But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Jesus." I say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, because we don't have to be outsiders any longer. It's like I said last week, we don't have to remain in the darkness because we can step into the light. Jesus is the light. We don't have to remain outsiders anymore because God has sent His Son for us that we might recognize He is the Savior. He's the light. And we can step out of the darkness into the light. And when we do, we are no longer outsiders. I say hallelujah. And when we have done that, we have a hope no matter what the enemy throws at us. We have a hope that is eternal in Christ. And that's what the people like Johnny Erickson, Tata, and our brother Dave, and sometimes some of you have said, I'm rejoicing, Jim. I'm rejoicing because they have a hope that's eternal. And friends, until we know the hope, until we know Jesus Christ as Lord, we are, as Paul described them, prior to their conversions, prior to their transformation, prior to them to being born again, we were, and may still be, without hope. But there's good news, because every one of us can have the hope of heaven. We can have the hope of Jesus. We've got to come to the end of ourselves. We've got to acknowledge we're a sinner that needs a Savior. We've got to believe that He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Yes, came as a little bitty baby in a manger. We're going to celebrate that the next 3 weeks. But He was Messiah. He was Lord. We've got to acknowledge that. We've got to believe that. We've got to confess our sins and receive Him as Lord. And then we have hope forever. Amen? Well, I just wanted to remind us today of those two opposite ends of the spectrum. We can be thankful in the painful when we have the hope of Jesus. And I just want to ask you today, friends, do you know that you have the eternal hope that comes through Christ? I said it earlier, I'll say it again. You don't have to hope. You have the hope. You can know you have the hope. He that has the Son, John writes, has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life, John said in 1 John chapter 5. We can know we have the hope because the hope is in Christ. When we have Son, the Son, S-O-N, we have hope. And so you don't have to hope you got the hope. You can know you have the hope if you've trusted Christ as Lord. And so I just pray you realize, and we pass on the good news, that the only eternal hope is in Jesus. And as we close with this last song, it's not a Christmas song, but it's a song that spells out what I've just said. It's on 347, I think, in your hymnals. And it's a song that talks about pain and talks about hope. And if you're here today, friends, and you're not sure you have the eternal hope of Jesus, you're not sure you've been born again, you're not sure you've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Pastor Les is here. He'll pray with you. Richard, I don't see Richard. Is Richard up here? No, that's okay. Pastor Les is here. I'll lead you in the music. Richard is here. Richard is here. Pastor Les is here. They'll be up front while we're singing this last song. If you're not absolutely sure you have the eternal hope, pray with one of these brothers today. Get right with God through your faith, your surrendered faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's stand together and sing this last song. Notice closely the words here. And if you need to pray with one of these brothers, they're here to pray with you. 347.